The lab lock.
Yeah, we're back on tape, and that's what we were.
The lab was a good, I got a good impression of the lab. Mm-hmm. It was a friendly lab mm-hmm. with about a dozen people. Mm-hmm. And very Americanized. So we had birthday parties almost every month. Since you have, you know, close to 15 people, mm-hmm. everybody's birthday party was celebrated, and so you buy cakes, you buy wines, and then just have the party in the lab. Mm-hmm. And we have postdoc students from America, from Europe. Mm-hmm. We got two from Britain. One from France, one from Switzerland. And my first direct supervisor was a postdoc from Scotland.
Scotland?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I get different, I get to learn different cultures. Mm-hmm. And I worked pretty hard in the lab. And the professor was not pushing at all. I have to push the professor to get him interested in what I'm doing and to get papers published. And he pretty much operate that you get your own ideas and you pursue it. Let you do your things freely.
Was that good or bad?
I think it was good.
Okay. Some people need more direction, and some people prefer not.
If you want to be independent thinking scientist, it's mm-hmm. better to be trained that way that mm-hmm. you are left alone. Mm-hmm. But when you need guidance, he's available. Mm-hmm. It was also nice that if you can pursue your own idea mm-hmm. right from the beginning. And that was my case. I did a rotation in the lab, and then I started working on the project in the lab. He laid out, you know, 10 or about a dozen different things that lab was going on, and asked me which one I would be interested in doing. And then I selected one. So I worked with the postdoc that was working on that project. Mm-hmm. And during the few months of working on that project, I got an idea of studying this by sitting in a seminar. And the speaker had talked about a method of studying DNA protein bonding interactions using a gel electrophoresis assay. So our lab was interested in studying RNA protein interactions. So I thought I just use the same technique mm-hmm. to apply it to RNA instead of DNA. Mm-hmm. I saw that was a great idea since even for the DNA protein interactions field, that was just beginning to be mm-hmm. used, and it's never been used for RNA. So I mentioned this idea, and the professor liked it a lot. And indeed, I spent 2 years on this idea to mm-hmm. use this assay to study all these factors, RNA bonding translation factors that Hershey is involved with, mm-hmm. to figure what's their function in RNA bonding stuff. So you can say I pretty much pursued a project that was based on my idea. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of tough because you don't get too many help mm-hmm. since this is new and everything you have to solve yourself. Mm-hmm. And then initially it looks pretty exciting and stuff, but gradually we couldn't really make an interesting story out of this. So that work lasted for 2 years, and still I didn't get a paper out of it.
That's hard.
That's hard, but I learned, you know, how to pursue things and do things your way and get things done. And even though nothing in terms of paper come out of that study, but I think the way I pursued it and the way I got this idea impressed my supervisor a lot. But anyway, so after that, we talked about doing a project that can quickly lead to something publishable and get my degree. So then he suggests an idea. I worked for 1 year, and then
is that the initiation factors?
Yeah, that's the MCB paper. So that's it. Finished in 4 years in the lab.
Okay. Now, you know, you hear all these stories. I've heard many of them by now about how many hours people work when they're in graduate school, and you know, some people work like 18 hours a day, it seems like. What was your schedule?
I come to the lab maybe 9 or 10. I usually work at night, so that means after dinner I will go back to the lab. And I don't remember work how late, but not too late, I don't think. Maybe 10, 11. And then most weekends I will work. So to me it was fine. It was I liked to do it, it seems like. It didn't feel that because the boss asked me to do it or something. Yeah, most of the time I feel I was most productive when the boss was on sabbatical. For half a year he was for the last half a year or a year he was in Japan on sabbatical. That was when I was finishing my degree. So I finished it up without him being present.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And were you still running and doing your physical stuff?
Absolutely. I dropped the ping pong.
Yeah,
because I got interest in tennis, got interest in badminton. And I think tennis I picked a little bit, but I was playing heavily badminton. Yeah, very heavy. It's like maybe 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Most of the afternoons I go play badminton.
So
sometimes in the evening.
Yeah. So it sounds like sports were pretty important to you.
Right. I was. That's right. I was always keep up with sports. Don't know why. I think maybe also natural.
It was what?
Natural talent.
Natural
again,
talent.
Yeah, again from my second son's experience. My older son was not very athletic at all, not interested in any kind of sports. Whereas my younger son was good at tennis and pick up golf easily. Just naturally is more athletic, you can tell.
Okay, so now when was this, what year did you finish? I have it on your resume.
89, the end of 89.
The end of 89, okay. And at that point, you had to find a postdoc.
Right.
So how did you, and you went to UCSD.
Right.
How did that come about?
How did that come about? Well, this has a little to do with my wife. And,
oh, had you already met her?
Right.
Okay, let's back up then.
Tell
me about meeting her.
Okay, so my wife was the next class of Caspia.
Oh, okay.
So I came in 84 and she came in 85.
To Davis.
To Davis, the same Caspia program.
Okay.
So I met her at the airport because she had already contacted me.
Oh, okay.
From this program, they knew who was there before, right? So contacted me and asked me to pick her up. So I went and then meet each other, and seems like we liked each other So we had started a real serious relationship maybe a couple months later, mm-hmm. after we meet. Then she went to a lab in genetics department for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then the boss was in sabbatical, and she started not liking the subject that much. And then she was interested in switching to a lab, or better, switching to a different university. Mm. At that time, I was also very encouraging, since I knew I wasn't going to stay in Davis for postdoc. Mm. So, sounds a good a good arrangement. It turned out to be that she ended up in UCSD to continue the graduate program. Mm-hmm. In the UC, you are allowed to do this, so you will still get a Davis degree, but you do your thesis work in a different campus. Yeah. So, okay. So she selected a very good lab here. Jeff Rosenfeld, who was later become a member of the Academy. Mm-hmm. And so she came here in 87, sometime summer 87. Mm-hmm. And then we, during all this, since she's gone, we still kept the relationships. I often drive to San Diego. She also goes back to Davis often. And then I graduated and I started looking for postdocs. I sort of, even though the San Diego would be in my mind, but I really did not limit my selection to only San Diego. So I sort of Boston, mm-hmm. mostly Boston and San Diego, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then it turned out this subject, this lab at UCSD is doing, as I realize, is an emerging field, and this lab was one of the first. It's considered to be at least in the forefront of that field. That was always my selection criteria, mm-hmm. that whether it's interesting or not, the lab doing it has to be in the forefront. Mm-hmm. So even though this lab wasn't that famous, because it was assistant professor, just discovered something new, big, had a paper in Nature and Science. That's how I found out about this. Mm-hmm. I thought he's working on an interesting subject, and I can at least do something in this field that may later lead to a career.
This was the
tumor suppressor army. Yeah. At the time, it was just being cloned, this gene.
Mm-hmm. And this is Dr. Lee?
Yes. Okay. And then it happened to be in San Diego, so that's how I came there.
Okay. And when did you marry? Don't hesitate too long.
That was tough, because we didn't really have a formal ceremony. Oh, both of my parents are not here, and I'm not into that formality. Mm-hmm. She is not either. So,
well, in China, you just have to register, don't you?
Just have to register. So we registered in the consulate in L.A.
Oh, uh-huh.
So I think it's in Nandi or something. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Then our first child was born, I think it's in 89. Mm-hmm. 89. Okay. It's the spring of 89. It's sometime around April. Okay.
So let's just talk briefly about your postdoc, and then we'll wrap it up for today. Okay. Yeah. So, now how, were you particularly interested in tumor suppressor genes before you came here? I mean, did you know that was what you wanted to do, or were you just looking for an interesting topic?
I was just, I studied the translation, mm-hmm. nothing related to cancer. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't particularly interested in tumor suppressor, and I was more interested in funding a good lab with a good research subject. Mm-hmm. So in my selection of postdoc labs, the specialty of the lab varied mm-hmm. a lot. So it just happens this tumor suppressor worked out. Mm-hmm. And then once I get into this, of course, I get myself interested.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. And how did this lab differ from Dr. Hershey's lab?
This lab, of course, is the lab head was not American, so he was educated in Taiwan.
Oh, okay.
And so there's probably no birthday parties. And so there are more Chinese and than Europeans and Caucasians.
Mm-hmm. And it was young. You said he was young.
He was relatively young,
yeah.
Right. And also, it operates as a husband and wife team.
Oh. Uh-huh.
So it was quite different, mm-hmm. quite different in terms of culture, you know. Mm-hmm. It's much less relaxed. Mm-hmm. It's more pressure, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in Hershey, we sometimes go to wine tasting trips in the Napa Valley here. Mm-hmm. Here, we don't really have a lab out trip. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The lab was a place to work, and there wasn't a social life.
Right. It wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't social at all. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did
just work. But in terms of my own, I didn't feel too much of a difference since I'm mostly self-driven. Mm-hmm. And again, the project I become successful in were all initiated by my own thought. I first came was given a subject mm-hmm. to do, which was to clone the Drosophila homolog of the RB suppressor gene. Mm-hmm. So that was the topic I was given. So I did that. But I knew from the beginning this is going to be a shaky project. Could work, may not work. So I could end up doing a lot of work with nothing. Cloning something is always, until you get it, all your hard work is nothing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I got, based on my graduate training experience, mm-hmm. I knew I have to have something going also on the side to keep productive mm-hmm. in case this one didn't work out. Mm-hmm. So I also did another thing, which was my idea to try to study the RB binding to the viral protein mm-hmm. to just study the interaction a little more in detail, mm-hmm. like map which regions of RB is involved in binding to this viral protein. Mm-hmm. So that turned out to be successful, and then the Drosophila project really didn't pan out after half a year. But in the meantime, I have this one worked out. That ended up being a EMBO journal paper. Mm-hmm. And then soon after that, I initiated this project to study, to express the RB protein in bacteria. Mm-hmm. And once I had at that time, the professor always saying, that cannot be done, because it's big and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I did it anyway, and got it expressed as a truncated form. Immediately with these reagents, I did the next thing, which is to see if there is a cellular protein mm-hmm. that can bind to RB. And that also worked out. And that was the basis for the Nature paper. Mm-hmm. Establishing the concept there is such a protein exists in the cell that normally binds to RB. Mm-hmm. Before that, people just know there's this viral protein that can bind to RB. Mm-hmm. They always suspect that there should be a viral homologue in the cell that mm-hmm. binds to RB. Mm-hmm. So that paper addressed that issue. Mm-hmm. So this basically opened up the field for the binding protein business. Mm-hmm. So from then on, you got many, many binding proteins being characterized. Mm-hmm.
So how long were you in the postdoc then?
I was there 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2.5 years. And then the lab moved to San Antonio, and I knew I wasn't going to go. So I started looking for positions, faculty positions.
Mm-hmm. Had your wife graduated by this time?
By this time, not yet.
Not yet. Mm-hmm. So you kind of needed to stay
right
somewhere in the West Coast.
Yes, somewhere here, mm-hmm. preferably. But I just for the sake of it, I also searched other places. Right. But in the end, I preferred here.
Mm-hmm. And you ended up here.
Right.
Now, what... It's not entirely clear to me what the relationship is between the Burnham Institute and the university.
Oh, the Burnham Institute was a private, non-profit institute that was independent mm-hmm. from the university. It's nothing at all related. Okay. But recently they tried to have some kind of interaction more, and so we have some sort of join a graduate program. So some graduate students from UCSD can somehow work in our labs mm-hmm. to get their degrees in from the school.
But do you have the title of professor even though you're not at a university? You do, don't you?
We do have professors. That was very recently they switched to this title. They have been always debating on what title we call ourselves. When I first started, we call ourselves staff scientists. Uh-huh. But then 2 years ago, after we established this joint program, mm-hmm. then some faculties here actually taught classes mm-hmm. there. Then we say, okay, we should call ourselves professors, okay. just to make it easier for other colleagues mm-hmm. to understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. What's if we go out and call ourselves staff scientists, they don't know. Relatively, comparatively, mm-hmm. how is this relative to the professorship? Mm-hmm.
They think you're an industry, probably.
Right. So,
okay. Well, I think we've had a good long time here, so why don't we wrap it up, and we'll pick up tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay.
We'll work some more.
Good.
Okay.